This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is a Pacifica National Board meeting, the regular board meeting for May 5th, 2022. It's 8:35 p.m. on the East Coast. And Marion Adane, would you take the roll, please?
See. Yes, I will do so. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Teresa Allen. Teresa Allen. I hear nothing. Okay. Bert Cohen.
Hello. It's me. I'm here.
Welcome back. Jim Dingman.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Good. Donald Goldmacher. Donald Goldmacher. Okay. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Good. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Donna Grimes. Donna Grimes. Okay. Evelia Jones. Evelia Jones. Okay. Alexa. That's a lot of people missing. Alexa. Okay, I hear nothing. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Good. James McFadden.
Here.
Good. Darlene Pagano. Darlene, I know you were
here.
Here. Good. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Bueno. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Good. James Sagerton. James Sagerton. Missing in action. Sharon Salam.
Yes.
Good. Mark van Landout.
Present.
Good. Beth van Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis.
Here.
Good. Susan Young.
Here.
Good. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Good. Let me try again. Teresa Allen. Can anyone tell me? Because I can't see everyone.
I don't see her. I will call her. I know she's coming on.
Gotcha. Okay. Donald Goldmacher, same question. Okay. Hearing nothing. Donna Grimes. Hearing nothing. Evelia Jones. Hearing nothing. Alexa.
Paulina, he's requesting the link. Can you send him the Zoom information? He just emailed.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Alexa.
Okay.
Okay. And James Sagerton, I haven't heard from.
He's calling in. I just talked to him.
Okay. So, Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Good. Julia Kennard.
Here.
Woo! I believe you were here, Julia. Polina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Good. Is Arthur going to be on during the open meeting?
He should be, yes.
Okay. John Tatum.
I'm here.
Good. So
Teresa is trying to get on and she's having trouble with number and code.
And this is Donald Goldmacher. I am on the call.
Could you check for Donna Grimes again? She says she's coming.
Okay.
And this is James Sagerton. I'm also here.
Ah, okay. So we are still missing Donna Grimes, Evelia Jones, and Alexa, who I gather is on his way. I believe we have
Teresa Allen is on her way.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Julie, if I may, this is Paulina.
Yes. Go ahead, Paulina.
I just resent the Zoom info to the whole PNB. I also noticed that we finally have the correct Zoom info on our KPFTX notices for us. So
that is correct.
And it's always the same. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So folks, when you can't find the Zoom link, the fastest way is to go to one of those no reply emails, and the link there is correct. That didn't used to be true, but this year it's true. Thank you, Otis McClay.
Ali is asking for someone to send him the link.
Somebody was, but I resent it to the whole PNB just now.
So,
this is Teresa. I'm on.
Thanks, Teresa. So we'll proceed with the rest of the agenda in the meeting, and as those couple of people who weren't on the call, as they join, hopefully we'll figure that out and add them as present. So next item on the agenda is the chair reads the report out from the closed session of April 28th. Which is, the PMB met in closed session to discuss the financial status of the foundation and finding a new home for KPFT. So then the next item is excused absences. And I didn't hear anything in particular about excused absences. And what I've heard, I guess, is that most of the people who aren't present are trying to get on, but...
point of information.
Bert's here. Go ahead, Teresa.
Is this passcode the same one that we've been using for all of our open meetings?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Ali, Lexa. I see your hand up.
Oh, hi. Just letting you know that I'm here, and if it wasn't already discussed, Avelia Jones asked for an excused absence. She has some personal matters to attend to tonight.
Ah, I did not know that, so thank you. Any objections to excusing Avelia Jones's absence? Hearing none, Avelia is excused. Was there anybody else? Are we all here pretty much, Marion?
I have not yet heard from Donna Grimes.
Ah, okay. Though we think she's trying to join, so.
Right.
Okay. The next item is identifying timekeepers. I need a timekeeper for people.
I think that Lawrence volunteered me.
No, I'll do the people.
Heather does the people and I do the subject?
Yes, yes.
Got it.
So items is Susan Young and Heather is people. Okay, great. That takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is agenda approval. I will try to read the agenda, fairly quickly here. Agenda approval for 5 minutes. Minutes approval from April 7th and April 28th, open sessions, 5 minutes. Update on NDA consensus forms, 3 minutes. ED report and Q&A, 10 minutes. CFO report and Q&A, 10 minutes. Legal counsel report and Q&A, that's for 30 minutes. Committee reports, we have 30 minutes. Coordinating committee for 3, finance for 5, governance for 5, elections for 5, programming for 3, strategic planning for 3, development task force for 3, and technology task force for 3. There's a couple other committees, but I didn't list them as getting time because they hadn't met. Then we have 20 minutes for unfinished business. The first item is an election timeline. Unfinished business is 20 minutes total. Election timeline is the first item. Resolution on clarification of cab seats and elections is the second item under unfinished business. Under new business, there's a resolution for the administration and management of LSB listservs for the 5 stations. first item, and the second item is motion on process for hearing on suspension of Donald Goldmacher, and item number 11 is adjourned to the closed session at a time certain of 10:30. And maybe before I take any discussion on the agenda, I will note that Donna Grimes appears to be here, right, Donna?
Right. Correct.
Great.
Here.
Good.
Any discussion about the agenda?
Hallen for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I submitted an item for the to the coordinating committee for the April 10th meeting, or April 7th or April 10th meeting, and we didn't discuss it at our last meeting when we discussed those items as time permits.
Yep.
And I'm wondering where it disappeared to.
I didn't intentionally leave it off, Teresa. I think it's just, I looked back at the, April 28th agenda, but I didn't look back at the April 7th agenda to pick up the items that we missed there. So, my apologies. Are you
okay
asking to add it to the agenda or?
Yes, I would like it definitely to be put before any unfinished business.
Well, I think all of the items that are in the unfinished business category are similar items that we have not gotten to in previous meetings. So putting it before unfinished business, you know.
Well, I mean, it should be number one on unfinished. It should have been before something that came up on April 17th. And it should be before the issue involving the community advisory boards, because I haven't seen that before.
No, that was on the meeting agenda for last week, which means it was also because it was something that carried over from the April 7th meeting. And I think you're saying you sent an email on April 10th. So that's after we met on April 7th.
I thought I gave it to the coordinating committee for the April 10th meeting. So it went to the coordinating committee, which was on the 31st.
So Teresa, what would be really helpful is if you email it now, because you know, I can't add something to the agenda if I don't really know what it is, right? Or not.
Okay.
We can't add something to the agenda if we don't know.
I just sent it. I think that's it. I don't think I edited it in any way.
No. I'm not concerned about that.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
We had a conversation that the elections timeline issue will be put on this agenda because we couldn't get to it last week. So I did email it to all board members. So if that could be put on the agenda as an unfinished business, I would think. Because I did notice it in the middle of March.
No, you're right. It is. It's on the agenda that was sent out to folks before the meeting. It is the first item listed under unfinished business.
All right. Thank you.
So no worries there. Okay. Sorry, folks. I had to move locations because we have house guests and that messed up my screens and where I find stuff quickly. So now I have to look for look for emails. Okay. So in principle, this, motion was already on the agenda for, the April 7th. So I don't know when you sent it, Teresa, originally, but it was before April 10th because it was on the agenda for April 7th.
And I just sent it to you, Polina, and Jim Sagerton.
Okay. Well,
Should I send it to the whole PNB?
Send it to the whole PNB because it's not part of the agenda, but,
okay.
So are there, okay, so are, if you're moving to add that item and make it be, you're saying you're making it be the first item under unfinished business.
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
This is the parliamentarian. I want to ask you if it's possible that these items, these two items that we're talking about, one of them is under the coordinating committee and the other one's the election committee. Can they be re-reported under their proper committees?
5 minutes.
All right, I need a motion to extend discussion of the agenda.
My time doesn't count. So I took two minutes.
Yeah.
The question to the chair was, can these items be re-reported under the proper committees, which comes way before unfinished business?
Yeah. So one thing is, Teresa invoked the coordinating committee by way of saying that she brought it up before the coordinating committee, but this would have been the coordinating committee back in March. And we put it on the April agenda. And the point is we didn't get to it on the April 7th agenda. So it is properly unfinished business. And I apologize for not going back and looking at the April 7th, agenda as well to make sure that I picked up all the unfinished business. And the elections committee item, and also Teresa's motion didn't come out of a committee. It's Teresa's motion. And then the other thing that I was going to point out is the conversation about the election timeline also didn't come out of the elections committee per se.
6 minutes.
So thanks. So we need a motion to extend discussion of the agenda. Either that or we have to go to a vote to approve the agenda.
Okay, may I be recognized?
Go ahead.
I second. Vanessa moved. I second.
Thank you. I didn't catch how long the extension was, Vanessa.
5 minutes.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to extend agenda discussion for 5 minutes? Hearing none, 5 more minutes.
Madam Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes, Teresa.
I just sent you, I guess, 10 minutes ago, a motion that came out of the Elections Committee Tuesday night.
Okay. So that's going to have to be part of the Elections Committee report.
Okay.
And I hope you didn't just send it to me if we need.
I sent it to the whole PNB. I sent it to the whole PNB, Madam Chair.
Okay. Stephanie, you're not muted.
Madam Chair, one other follow-up.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
And I think we all know this, but just for clarity, when a motion is coming from a committee, it doesn't need to be seconded, but when it's coming from a single person, it does need to be seconded.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, the notice that I provided is not in the form of a motion. Okay. Thank you.
That's fine. I put it on the agenda as just the election timeline, not as a motion per se.
Madam Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes, James McFadden, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, it seemed like there was some clarification. My motion about cabs was on the agenda for the 7th. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Oh, yes, that's correct.
That motion was put in a week before the motion before the meeting on April 7th.
That is correct. So technically speaking, the way we should do this, and I don't remember the order that they were on the April 7th agenda, but both Teresa's motion and James McFadden's motion were on the agenda for April 7th. Technically Lawrence's, election timeline item wasn't, but he sent it previously, I think April 17th was the first time, and asked that it be put on the meeting agenda last week. So it wasn't actually on the agenda, but because he sent it in advance, that makes it unfinished business as opposed to new business. So, or at least I think that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Secretary, just to answer your question about which order those two motions were on the April 7th agenda, James McFadden's motion was first, followed immediately by Teresa's.
Okay. Awesome. So that would be the proper way to list them under unfinished business. So it would be James's motion, Teresa's motion, then election timeline, ABC. Would someone like to move that we modify the agenda in terms of unfinished business in that way?
Chair, I move that that we approve the agenda as amended.
Vanessa seconds.
Any objections to amending the agenda in this manner? Hearing none, the agenda is amended. Are there any other discussion about the agenda before we move on to voting on the agenda? All right. Are there any objections to the agenda as amended? All right. Hearing none, the agenda is approved. All right. So that means we go back up to now we're working on minutes for the open sessions of April 7th and April 28th. Let's do the April 7th minutes first. Is there any discussion of the minutes of the April 7th meeting? Polina sent them around the other day. Would someone like to move that we approve the minutes of the April 7th open session?
Donna moves that we accept those minutes.
Second. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Susan. Any discussion? Any objection to approving the minutes of April 7th? Hearing none, the minutes of April 7th are approved. And, of course, as everybody knows, if people should find things to corrections to make later, they can certainly raise that. Now let's do the April 28th minutes. Is there any discussion of the April 28th minutes for the open session? I will make one point. There's a place in the minutes, Marianne, where we refer to the Verniel case, and it's you spelled it with a B, and it's spelled with the letter V as in Victor.
Julie, I think I corrected that in the.
Oh, did you? Okay.
The one that I sent out. Yeah. I went over them first. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Then I retract my statement.
Okay. I would appreciate you spelling it out because I've seen it about four different ways and I don't know the man's name. So please give me the definitive spelling.
Yeah. V-E-R-N-I-L-E.
Thank you.
Any objections to the minutes of April 27th? I'm sorry, April 28th. Hearing none, the minutes of April 28th are approved. I don't have a specific update on the NDA consent forms. I will only because I didn't have time before this meeting to go through and make sure I knew exactly who had and hadn't submitted the forms. I'll remind people that we really need those forms, and we're going to get to the point really soon where if you haven't submitted the form, you will not be in an executive session. I know a couple of people who I named last week did send their form, who I reminded last week to send their forms in. So I appreciate that for those of you who did. We're getting down to a small number now. So I'm not going to say names because I'm not 100% confident. So that's the update on NDA consent forms.
Chair Matt, can I request that people mute themselves? if they don't have the floor?
Yeah, absolutely. There was an awful lot of background noise there for a moment. But that brings us to the point on the agenda where we're at the ED report and question and answer, and this is a 10-minute item. Stephanie.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to give a quick thank you again to everybody who is calling me and contacting me with suggestions and comments, particularly after the meeting that we had last week regarding financial stability and just talking about the future and the strategic planning and things that we need to do to keep Pacifica stable for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So I really do greatly appreciate everyone who has spent the time to talk to me about different things. And there have been quite a few people that I've been talking with regarding just strategic planning, and the strategic planning committee met, so I appreciate them giving me a call as well and letting me know what they discussed. And we are working with the core group there to determine sort of long-term and short-term strategic planning for Pacifica. So thank you for everybody for helping with that. Also, I am aware, and I've been talking with people as well, that the CPB funding applications are now open. We are not in a place where we can apply at this point. I'm still looking at it. You know, there's still that little part of me that is hopeful, but there's quite a few things that Pacifica needs to do to be in compliance, and it is definitely listed on CPB, and in conversations that I've had with them regarding this grant opportunity, is that we need to be in compliance with all of these things prior to the application. So again, the good thing and the positive thing about this is that we do now have a great list of what it is that we need to do in order to get ourselves up and ready for this full speed next time the application process comes along. I also wanted to give a nice hats off and congratulations to Ann Levine from our Pacifica affiliate station, WOMR, in Provincetown, Maine. She has been working extremely hard securing communication with the radio network in Ukraine and is broadcasting interviews with key Ukrainians there on the ground and working extremely hard to get their voices out over the air. And the radio station that she's been working with actually turned down the BCC to be able to broadcast through Pacifica. So many thanks to Anne. If you can, give it a chance and listen to it through our affiliate stations. And many thanks to Ursula Rudenberg, who's our affiliate network manager, for working with her and supporting this amazing project. So it really is fascinating to listen to. And also a hats off and a thanks to all of our stations for supporting our archives. They had a recent fundraiser and they raised a little over $40,000. So it was a great event and all of our sister stations participated in supporting that. And kudos to Mark Torres, who's our archive director, for organizing the drive and for getting the word out there. And again, thanks to all the stations for supporting that and moving forward. So we're looking, you know, as I said, we're looking and spending a lot of time on the finances and having some tough discussions regarding what we're going to need to do moving forward. But I do have, as I said, the great support of a lot of people who are providing a lot of insight and advice and just letting me sort of throw some ideas off of the wall, you know, with them to figure out what we need to do moving forward. But if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Madam Chair, may I be recognized?
Go ahead, Teresa.
I think I have three questions. Anyway, thank you so much for being patient with us, Stephanie. You're a trooper. I'm wondering which stations aired the archives fundraiser and which ones actually promoted it, because I didn't really see promotion of that event at my station until the day before. So I'm just wondering, which one, when the stations knew about this event, and did all of the stations air it?
I'm in my car, so I'm pulled over to the side, so alas, seatbelt, but I am pulled in a safe space. To my knowledge, just from the information and the emails that I received from Mark when this was going on, is that he had sent out an e-blast through regarding just fundraising in general a couple of months prior. And in that, it was a an e-blast geared toward online donations and people sending in checks. And it kind of hinted to having this on-air event. We wanted to kind of see how much money was raised through that e-blast before he determined whether to add an additional on-air event. The emails that I saw that were going out promoting what the programming was at least around March 25th. And I think that then kind of a schedule of what different things could be pulled from and what programs they could use was, I think, sent out April 19th. I'm only pulling from my memories and visualizing the emails in my head. Mark would have the actual details with that. To my knowledge, I thought that all the stations participated, and then I thought maybe not all of them did, because I'm not too sure if any funding came in from the Houston area, but then I was also told that they did air some of it in Houston. So I'll have to double check with Mark to see where some of that money came in, because some of the checks possibly, or the funding from Houston, might have come in via a check and they haven't received it yet.
Okay. My other question is, I know that there was, we paid for an overlap of about a month between you and the former interim executive director. Can you tell me how much time you had actually one-on-one with her to pass the baton, and do you have the paperwork regarding our legal billings for the last several years and what is outstanding? Do you have the paperwork that shows what we owe and what it's for? Did you get that paperwork from our previous IED? Thank you.
Any sort of paperwork with outstanding bills, I get those on a regular basis from Julia Kennard. I did not receive any information from the IED with any sort of legal fees or bills that were due. That was really just referenced strictly to Julia. I was able to spend one day with the former IED at the offices of KPFK. So we had a day together where we were discussing various things. And then she was always accessible via phone or email.
Thank you.
Chair, you're muted.
Yeah, sorry. Lawrence has his hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. I'm hoping that we could continue to move this forward. I know I have your phone number, and I could have picked up the heavy phone and called you. What I wanted to find out, I'd like to consult with you, and tap into your organizational experience when it comes to an ethics, criteria for each board member. I could formulate a motion based on my life experiences and my membership on other boards, and also as a government worker that is required to sign an ethics, disclaimer. But there's a questionnaire, and you have to provide answers, and you have to pass with it at least a C, which is 70%. So I like to, maybe if you could set me a time when it's good to communicate with you, I'd like to, discuss this with you. And I also put that in the ear of our chair as well. I think this is way overdue. I don't understand how we went for so many years with not having that criteria in place. It's just a best practice, if you will, to do that. So I don't know if you want to say anything about that, Stephanie.
I am currently actually working on a board book, because to my knowledge, there isn't one that exists for Pacifica. But I've put together multiple board or pulled, you know, different board books of different organizations that I've worked with and worked for, either as a board member myself or as an executive director of those organizations, as well as some other larger museums and public television broadcasting areas that have actual board books and board manuals. So I'm compiling, I have a huge stack of those, and I've gone through and compiled a lot of that and been trying to put together a board book that we can look at as a group and try to implement that. And in that would be roles and responsibilities, the, you know, non-disclosure agreements in there, the conflict of interest, whistleblower policies, all of those things that usually exist in a board manual that board members get prior to being a part of the board, as well as, you know, an application, you know, contact information, even simple things as just, you know, a birth month so I can send out birthday cards, you know, just kind of things that can tie the board together, and that when you enter and join the board, that you do have a set level of expectations. That would also include links and training materials for harassment, bullying, DEI training. So all of that would be part of the board book as well.
And ethics as well, because that was my question.
Yes.
Thank you.
Great. Jim Dingman has his hand up.
Thank you.
I apologize. 11 minutes. Oh, so we need a motion to extend for a few minutes.
Chair, I'd like to move to extend for 5 minutes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend for 5? Hearing none. 5 more minutes. Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
All right. Thank you. I just was curious as to what have you discovered are the most important roadblocks to start to remove that have to do with the obstacles to get CTV funding down the road?
The obstacles at this point are making sure that the amount of funding that we are receiving from our listeners matches their amount of donations, is matching what is required with the cities and the audiences that we have. There's this, everybody here knows more than I do about this, because we're in large cities, there's an expected amount of funding that we should be getting from our listeners. So we also need to have a clear reading as to how many people we are actually reaching, how many of those that we are reaching are donating, and does that donation fall into the percentage that matches what CPB is requiring. We also need to have a, all of our files and our record keeping and our audits and things are up to date. So, you know, we passed that, but there are some other financial documents that need to be looked at that weren't submitted back in the early teens. So I think it was 2013, 14, 15, something like that. I'll have to look at the exact numbers. So a lot of it is just kind of cleanup of what we're doing and showing them that we are doing everything we can to maintain and keep and stay in compliance with the lists that they have provided to us that they asked us to do quite a few years ago.
Any other questions for Stephanie? Got it. Well, thanks, Stephanie. The next item on the agenda is the CFO report and Q&A. Julia.
Sorry, how many minutes? 10?
10. Thanks. Got it.
Hello.
Go ahead, Julia.
Well, just to add to what Stephanie has been saying, she is right. We've been working pretty steadfast together, trying to keep things going as smoothly as possible, and knee-deep in trying to finish the March financials for the Finance Committee next week, and working with NETA staff as well as Pacifica staff on the audit. Things are moving along with that. Still, it's going to be, you know, a few weeks before anything will be you know, finally pulled together and under review with the auditors. But it is moving along. My main thing recently has just been spending a lot of time dealing with the daily cash flow issues and working with vendors. A couple of the stations are obviously in a little bit more difficult situation than others, but I think that we also have a situation where that's kind of creeping to other stations as well, and we've discussed that before. If you think about an organization the size of Pacifica and how much cash you would think that they would have, we're just not there yet. And so our cash versus payables, there's a huge gap there. You know, we talk about KPFT, and several of the stations have started fund drives this week. Some are, you know, kicking off okay. Others are not doing as well. I spoke with KPFT this week, and while they're able to make payroll next week, you know, their concern is that once they do that and pay their tower rent, they'll have $2,500 in the bank. You know, WBAI, you know, again, is probably going to have a couple thousand dollars in the bank, today that they have funded payroll for next week. KPFK, you know, has about $11,000 in the bank, but, you know, over $200,000 in payables if we include payroll and help is due next week. So, really just trying to make sure that we're staying on top of that and, trying to make some, you know, tough decisions, at least working with Stephanie and trying to figure out where we're going with the cash situation. The EIDL loan, we still do have some funds sitting set aside for that. It's about $290,000. And while there have been conversations and obviously spending a chunk of that set aside for things like interest for the FJC loan, paying the audit fees, we still have some legal fees that we need to pay. And then just a little bit of reserve that we need to decide, you know, as more things come up, what that's going to go toward. But the good thing is at least with the payment for towards the principal, our interest payments have dropped. So instead of around 50,000 a quarter, they're down to, I think, around 38,000. I believe we're going to have over $30,000 left over than what we had set aside for the interest because we had made that larger payment. So that's a little bit of good news there. Any questions about anything? Anything you'd like me to go into a little bit deeper?
Jim Dingman, I see your hand.
Yes, thank you. How much of the EIDL loan is left?
$290,000.
And how much of that was used to pay the principal of the loan from FJC?
$300,000.
Wasn't that $500,000?
I apologize. The original payment was $300,000. It was $500,000. You're correct.
Thank you.
$500,000, and then we set aside $150,000 to pay the interest for the next three quarters.
Do others have questions for Julia?
Yes.
Donald, go ahead.
If I understand you correctly, you're saying the three stations that are running in the red are really exhausting whatever reserves they have. And the hope is that fund drives will replenish their cash flow. And so the question is, how much do they need from each of their stations' fund drives to get them through the next quarter?
Well, for example, WBAI needs, about 60,000, 66,000 just to pay payroll and health and the tower rent by next week. Now, oh, and I apologize. They did fund payroll today. So if we back that out, I was not expecting that, but we did fund payroll today. But if you think about just on a monthly basis, and I'm using it as an example, I'm not picking on them. I just happen to have easier numbers to remember. If their help, their payroll is $20,000 a pay period, so that's $40,000 plus $11,000 for help. You're at $51,000 plus just the tower rent, you know, is $16,000. So, you know, you're up to $70,000 and you've only paid, health insurance, payroll and tower rent. It's not including office rent, utilities, having to pay for premiums, having to pay for consultants.
Just a follow-up on consultants at WBAI. Isn't that a line item that's used to actually pay for staff that you don't want to pay as staff but as a consultant?
Say it again.
It's my understanding that that line item of quote consultants at WBAI, at least in the past, has been used to actually pay for staff who they didn't want to pay the rest of the coverage for a staff person.
So well, I would hope that would not be a reason. I know that Cynthia, our director of HR, would hate to hear that.
Would you be kind enough to follow up on that?
Sure. Please?
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions for Julia? All right. We are at the
Chair, point. Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes.
Thank you. I think the previous question leads to assumptions. There's no concrete proof that something like that is the practice. It's a standard practice. So I just want to caution that I don't think that question is a factual question. I think it's a question, is a sort of like a question seeking information, but I don't want to say fishing, but it's a question that that really does not bear factual information, right? I mean, this is just assuming that that's a practice that's being done, but there's nothing in any of the reports that I've seen or anything like that that says that they're paying consultants to exclude, you know, paying them as staff members. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thanks. Any other questions for Julia? All right. We're at the point on the agenda where... Teresa, go ahead.
I would like to know, maybe somebody on the Finance Committee knows, or maybe someone from WBAI, what is the average consulting cost for in WBAI's last year? Is it, somebody told me it was $25,000 a month. Is that correct?
It is. No, it's not that high. Hold on.
I think in the budget it was about $174,000 for the year.
But last year I think it was about, if you averaged it, I think it was about $17,000 a month.
Okay, thank you.
But that has been cut this year, and has been cut since the budget was presented as well. So the number that was in the budget, James, I think you said was about $176,000. Has been cut an additional $3,000 to $4,000 a month. I need to go back and look. But it has been cut again.
Thanks, Julia. Were any other questions for Julia? I'll pause longer this time since every time I started a new one, somebody came up with something. All right. So the next item on the agenda is the legal counsel report. And I'm going to just check to see whether Arthur's joined us. I'm not sure that he has. All right. Why don't we start on the committee reports while we're waiting for Arthur to join us and see how far we can get. And when Arthur does join us, then we'll come back to him. So under committee reports, the first committee that was listed is having a report as the coordinating committee. And I will give an extremely brief report for the coordinating committee, which is we met for less than half an hour a week ago to develop the agenda for this evening's meeting. And that's because it was the same time as the last week's PMB meeting, just because of we needed to have last week's PMB meeting when we did. What we need to do with the coordinating committee is get a chair for the coordinating committee. I think people assumed that I was the chair because I was the chair of the PMB. So we're working on that. And, the coordinating committee will do a better job, you know, moving forward. All right. The next committee on the list is any questions for the coordinating committee report? All right. Next committee up is the finance committee. Jim Sagerton, do you have anything you want to report?
Yeah, 5 minutes
each. Yeah, I'll be very brief. Julia has pretty much said everything. I will say that we had to cancel our last meeting because we didn't have the March financials ready yet, and we were hoping to review the budget of the archives, and they were doing their national fundraising that day. So we didn't do that. We're hoping to do that at our next meeting, both the March financials and hopefully another budget. We are very caught up in preparation for the audit, and especially the daily cash flow issues. As I say many times, we are an organization that has debt that's actually small compared to our assets, but we are cash poor. We're having very difficult cash flow versus payables problems, and that is what a lot of our time is being absorbed with. And that's it for now.
Great. Any questions for Jim on his report? All right. Next up is governance.
Thank you, Chair. We report on behalf of governance. I convened the governance committee last Wednesday. We had a little bit of confusion because the properly vetted list was not completely available. But we did have quorum, and we did get, we do have some great, members of the governance committee. I serve as chair pro temp, and, Jane from KPFT has stepped up to be our secretary, which is great. For what I understand, she's a very thorough, secretary, very thorough note taker as well. So, we set benchmarks, in regards to, some issues that we want to, focus the, committee work on. And, I think that's about it. I hope there's no questions because I have to leave and then come back. So, but that's my hope. Thank you.
Any questions for Lawrence on the governance committee report? All right. Next up is elections committee. Who's giving that report?
I am.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. I have a motion that I have sent to the PNB. And sheesh. If I can't find it, I'm hoping somebody else might be able to read it. Does the secretary receive? Does the secretary have it? I'll read it. Okay. This is a PNB Elections Committee motion regarding the network-wide day of programming to raise funds for the 2022 elections, delegate elections. Whereas Article 4 of the Pacifica Foundation bylaws states that members of each radio station shall elect delegates for the foundation radio station with which the members affiliated, and whereas Article 4, Section 3 of the bylaws sets forth the requirement that 3 staff delegates and 9 listener sponsor delegates for each foundation radio station shall be elected this year, it resolved that the Elections Committee of the Pacifica National Board calls on the Pacifica Foundation to conduct a Pacifica network-wide day of programming and fundraising to raise awareness about the delegate election process and help defray the cost of conducting the required 2022 Pacifica delegate elections. That's the motion. I would also like to say that in the past, when we had many more mail ballots, we would send out an envelope asking for donations. And I don't know off the top of my head how much we made from that. I imagine things like the President Carter's nonprofit that helps other countries conduct fair elections, having someone speak for them, having Al Franken talk about when his election to the Senate was questioned and a recount was done, and or someone like a Fair Vote, Stacey Abrams organization being interviewed, perhaps Roy Zimmerman, political satirist, some of his music, perhaps some of the things that we have in the archives. Just basically talk about the integrity of elections and how important it is, and use that as a means to raise money.
Chair Vanessa to the stack, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
Actually, I guess it's a point of information. Teresa, the election committee voted on this. Please remind me, did we vote it up or down?
We passed it.
Okay. Well, the thought of some election committee members is that while it's a nice idea, that we have much more pressing needs, and any funds that are raised should be allocated to more existential sorts of issues and operational rather than something that would be nice to have.
Well, I'd like to say that because it's in our bylaws, I personally would love it if our elections were less expensive. In fact, I've done a director's inspection request to know how much we did spend on our election last year. Perhaps someone knows, but I don't. But I think that there are people that were excited about our elections. It was invigorating for many people. I was involved in it, and I would give money to make sure that it happens because it's in our bylaws. It's not just, you know, a lanyard. It's not just something for fun. It is designated in our bylaws. And if we don't conduct an election, we do face the possibility of a lawsuit.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'd like to, move to postpone, this motion, to we hear from the item that I noticed in regards to possible, because we are out of the bylaws requirement right now, as Teresa knows. I think either way, we're looking at an election, changing the election timeline. So I would like to make a motion to postpone consideration of this motion till we have that conversation.
I seek a second.
I would oppose that.
It doesn't matter if you're opposed. Is there a second to?
Yes, Vanessa seconds.
Thank you, Vanessa. is there a discussion about Lawrence's motion about postponing?
We're past 5 minutes.
Oh, thank you.
I would request another 5 minutes discussion.
Is there a second for extending for five?
Second.
Thank you, Marianne Martinez. Is there discussion of Lawrence's motion to postpone?
Vanessa to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Just speaking to support Lawrence's motion, that's since there's going to be a related discussion of an action that would make Susan's motion unnecessary, I think it makes sense to postpone, have that other discussion first, and then we can make an informed decision.
I'll just note that it wasn't Susan's motion. It was Teresa reporting.
I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
No worries. No.
Question.
Go ahead.
Are you saying, I guess my question for Vanessa, are you saying that the motion involving the timeline is an attempt to say that we don't need an election this year?
No, I'm not saying. I'm sorry.
Okay, it sounded like that.
Tell me when you're ready. Tell me when you're ready.
But if we approve this now, that gives us time to plan an interesting day of fundraising. That's not just about Pacifica's elections, but in election integrity, which is a very cutting edge or very pertinent topic of conversation nationwide. And, you know, with Russia involved in our elections, it's an important topic. So I think it might be fun to have a day of fundraising, and we might have something worth people giving money to. And I think that many people would be willing to finance this election. And they might even see some voter suppression here going on.
Chair, I have a point of order.
Lawrence, go ahead.
It just seems like the director is stepping outside of the boundaries of a motion by conflating it with election integrity, which I'm completely for, because believe me, I'm one of the people that my votes get suppressed. But I, on the other hand, the bylaws require us to vote on a timeline. And since we are outside of that requirement, we need to take a vote as directors to possibly change the byline, the timeline. That's why I'm moving to postpone the motion, Chair.
Thanks. Yes, we're not talking about the merits of the motion. This is just about, I mean, the merits of the election committee motion. It's about the about Lawrence's motion to postpone.
Point of information.
Go ahead, Mr. Goldmacher.
Yeah, Lawrence, what is the purpose of your motion to begin with? How long do you plan on postponing this election? Would you like to share that with us?
Chair, may I?
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. Goldmacher. Great question. I noticed the bylaw requirement in regards to having an election and doing all the PDFs, the request for proposals to hire an election supervisor and do locals. So I think what I'd like to do, I'd like to postpone this motion till we have the discussion that I noticed in regards to possibly, as a director, we have to vote whether we're going to hold elections or we're going to change the timeline, because we are outside the bylaw requirement. So I'd like to have that conversation first, Mr. Goldmacher. I don't know if that clears it for you.
Okay. Now, may I follow up, Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
Speak to the motion to postpone. It seems to me that if this board is committed to holding an election as per the bylaws, even though we are already a month late in, or 2 months perhaps, in hiring a national election supervisor, The first step in making sure that we can have an election is, do we have a mechanism to raise money to fund that election? And I take umbrage with the notion that, oh, this is just a nice thing to do. No, this is per the bylaws of this corporation. And this corporate, this board in the past has shown a willingness to disregard its own bylaws. And I would suggest that figuring out about raising money, which I think we can do, and I support Teresa's suggestion in that effort, and I would sort of name the day defending democracy.
5 minutes.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm just going to take the chair's privilege for a moment to do my best Ron Pinchback imitation, which is part of the motion to postpone, and say, now hold on a minute, folks. Do you really think that we can tell the stations that we need to take a day of their programming? And so Ron would say that, or something to that effect. And I just want people to think about that. So we're out of time discussing the motion to postpone. So are there any objections to the motion to postpone this item?
Yes,
I object.
All right, Marion, can we take a roll call vote here, please?
Okay. To be clear, a yes vote is a vote to postpone Teresa's motion until Lawrence's motion is settled. Is that correct?
Almost correct. Lawrence doesn't have a motion. It's just a discussion item. And it's not Teresa's motion. It's the election committee motion.
Thank
but
you.
Other than that, you got it right.
I'm getting it wrong. Gotcha. Okay, Teresa. Teresa Allen.
I say no to the postponement.
No. Bert Cohen. Is Bert still on?
I think Bert had to leave in the chat. He said he was exhausted for now.
Gotcha. Okay. Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes to postpone.
Votes yes. Donald Goldmacher.
No.
Votes no. Sue Goodwin.
Yes.
Votes yes. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ali Lexa.
No.
Votes no. Marianne Martinez. Marianne Martinez?
Oh, no.
Votes no. James McFadden?
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano?
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes? Or Lawrence is missing at the moment?
No, I'm here. I'm here. Oh. Secretary. Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Votes yes. Sharon Salam.
Yes.
Votes yes. Mark Van Landout.
No.
Votes no. Beth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis.
No.
Votes no. Susan Young.
No.
Votes no. Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 no votes. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Abstain. Okay, there being 11 yes votes and 8 no votes, the motion to postpone carries.